Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, loved ones, for it is an honor, a privilege, and pleasure to be in fellowship this Sabbath, corresponding with March the 11th of 2017. As I always say, that God is worthy to be praised, the Almighty, Most High, God Yah, and I am grateful and thankful for the gift of life that is through His one and only true and living through His only begotten beloved Son, none other than Yeshua the Messiah, who died for me, you, the world alike, shed His blood for us, and was resurrected the third day, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. That gift of life is priceless, and I am most grateful and thankful for the love, mercy, and grace of Yah that is afforded us all, particularly in this day and time where we have to stay encouraged. We have to be built up, that is, edified and empowered and enlightened in the Lord. And that's what the benefits of fellowshipping is for, and why I'm so grateful when I have an opportunity to be amongst the saints, to teach, to learn, to hear from other men of Yah, to hear inspired word of Yah from women, you know, just the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Most High God Yah is just so awesome, and I can never get enough. You know, my soul always longs and thirsts for Yah, and for that matter, I always want to be in striving unto perfection. I know that I can never make it in and of myself, but I had that desire to keep pressing, to keep pressing. You know, and when I'm wrong, I want to acknowledge it, I want to admit it, and I want to apologize for it, and I want to continue, you know, because it is so blessed to have the opportunity to acknowledge the error of our ways and to be able to apologize to those we offended, to tell someone, that special someone, I am sorry for what I've done. If Yah has allowed you to live, to come to that realization, and allow the other party to come to the real to be alive, in order that you may cross paths and have the opportunity to amend some mistakes and errors and hurts and pains of the past, that is so blessed, because a lot of folks don't make it to be able to say they're sorry, you know, to be able to apologize, to be able to come unto repentance. It is a blessing that we can't even begin to put a value to. It is that priceless. But we need to seize the moment, take full advantage of the moment, and use the love and mercy and grace that Yah has given to us for its intended purpose, and nothing else but for its intended purpose. You know, and that's where our salvation lies. And so I want to tell the saints to be encouraged, you know, to be edified, and to know that what is happening is a part of the plan. We are still in biblical times. Biblical times are not relative to just the Old Testament and then through the New Testament. We are still in the Testament of Yah. The book is still revealing. We are in biblical times, and it behooves us to be mindful of this, that the end is not yet, though it is soon to be here. But as long as this world is in existence, then we are still in biblical times. The biblical times are written in these scriptures, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelations, and we are in the midst of that right now. You know, so with this being said, just be encouraged and comforted, and that as the worst is yet to come, so is the best to be yet to come. And they will collide, and it would be the best that was yet to come that would overthrow the worst that is upon us, and destroy it in order that we can live in eternity for the rest of our lives and the peace and what Yah had purposed from the very beginning. You know, we have so much to lose. We have everything to lose if we faint, if we give up. We can't lose. We can't faint and give up and risk losing it all. And the all is in relation to our soul. Our soul is priceless. Our soul is everything. Everything that we are going through, the trials and tribulations and the cares of this world, the hurts and the pains and the hardship, the sufferings, all of that is nothing in comparison to what Yah has promised us. It is nothing in comparison to the weight and the value of our soul that is so precious. And our regret when we make it on the other side would be that we didn't suffer enough. When we come to realize what Yah has purpose for us, and He put us in His eternal kingdom, and He fulfills every promise to us, if there's going to be any type of remembrance of this former life and any type of regret, it would be the regret that, man, I wish I had went through more in order to be in this place. We would feel as though we don't deserve. And quite honestly, we don't. And this is why I'm so grateful for the gift of life in Yeshua the Messiah. Because in and of ourselves, we don't deserve. But I would have to believe that if we did have a consciousness tied to this world, it won't be missing the pleasures of this world, the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and these things. But it would only be that, my God, I wish that I had labored long enough. I wish I had gone through more for what you are giving me. I believe that we'll have that presence of mind. You know, that's just my thought on it. Because surely what we're going through in a temporary life is not worthy of what we're going to receive in the eternal life in the hands of the righteousness of Yah and the good promises that are given to us. So I say be comforted in your trials and tribulation and the hardship, because Yah said it was going to be hard. But He is able to reward us exceedingly and above anything that we have gone through. He is the sustainer of our lives. So with that being said, my subject today is Yeshua. With respect to lifestyle, you know, He is a lifestyle. He is a way of life. Yeshua is the way of life, and we need to understand that Yeshua as a lifestyle, Yeshua as a way of life. You know, in the book of John, we make mention of it, 14:6, in the Gospel of John, 14:6, it refers to, it says, and Yeshua saith unto him, you know, that is to Thomas, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And so that is such a profound statement that Yeshua is much more than just a namesake. He is much more than someone to use as merchandise, you know, to call on His name in troubled times. He is so much more than calling on His name for salvation. You know, the epitome of Him is what we need to look at, the very essence, because He is Yeshua is not a religion that Christianity is centered around. And we need to really grasp that He is not a religion that Christianity is centered around, but Yeshua is a way of life. Once again, He is our lifestyle. He is a typical way of life of an individual, a group, a culture, or society as citizens of the highest calling. This is us dealing with the way. We're dealing with the way of Yeshua, which is the way of life. It is the lifestyle. So the citizens of the highest calling, you know, this is the typical way of life of Yeshua. And, you know, because the highest calling, to be called a child of the Most High God is the greatest honor that can be bestowed upon man. That is the greatest honor that can be bestowed upon us, is to be called a child of God. And to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is also the greatest honor, to be called a citizen. They have these clubs in the world that are for the wealthy and the rich, and it is such a great honor when they can pay millions of dollars a year to be a part of a club with the pull of, you know, they have, you know, pull politically, pull economically, you know, they have their circle of friends that are powerful, that are rich, that make things happen. You know, they got to pay to be in that. But there is a group of people that is more honorable than the rich in that respect, that don't regard any type of true moral standard, any type of godliness or righteousness. But see, and as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we're more honorable and we're more priceless, we're more valuable than the world's rich and elite that have their own clubs, have their own secret societies and different things. And Yah allowed the rich, or should I say the despised, the impoverished, the poor, the disabled, he allows all to be welcome into his family in order to be considered children of the Most High Yah and be a partaker of the kingdom, be citizens of the kingdom of heaven as a child of Yah. Something that in the world they're prejudiced against. You can't be in poverty and, you know, and be of distress and, you know, just the things that don't have the right appearance to represent these elitists. They don't want you. And the many cannot afford to be amongst them anyway. And quite honestly, that's a good thing, because when we get into the root and really know what they're about, we wouldn't want to be around them anyway. They're some of the most wretched, most perverted, most wicked and corrupt. You know, the rich and famous are such that anything goes with them if we can only see their lifestyle. You know, but the children of Yah should not and would not have a lifestyle that is seen or acted out in the type of sinfulness and the type of ungodliness that is so familiar, so common with men, you know, just and when I say men, it's not a respect of gender, but just men in the flesh that have so much wealth and have, you know, power and authority and have fame with the fortune. You know, Yah has given us riches that the world can't even begin to put a price on. They don't have a commodity. They don't have a currency. They don't have anything that can buy what Yah has freely given to us. The things of Yah that are free to us are free to us because there's nothing that we can touch and nothing that we can see to purchase it. There's absolutely nothing. So Yeshua is a particular way of living. This is what we need to grasp. This is the essence of it. He's a particular way of living, a way of living that is spiritual, that is holy and righteous, a way of living that is pleasing to the Almighty Most High God Yah. Yeshua, we need to understand, and the Christians call him Jesus Christ. But if it is going to be the Jesus Christ that is written in the Bible, then we need to understand Jesus himself was not about the way of the world. He made it very clear, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Since this is Sabbath Bible study, if you will, a Sabbath scripture study, I tell you that you'll find this in 1 John 2:16. So it is a way of living that is difficult, you know, in Yeshua the Messiah. It is a way of living that is difficult and has a lot of suffering as we are pressed on every side in our pursuit of our salvation, wherein lies ahead permanent rest and eternal life. And this is why the scripture says in Hebrew, as we talk about the way, in Hebrew, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, and it tells us, though Yeshua were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. See, he learned his obedience by suffering. When you look at obedience, you know, as a lifestyle, obedient, it is the be obedient is willing to do what someone tells you to do or to follow a law, a rule, etc. Just being willing to obey and being submissive to the restraint or command of an authority. So Yeshua, he learned through giving his will unto the Father. That's how he learned his obedience. And in his suffering, he suffered. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And so what is this? This learned obedience was a hard lesson in what it would require to obey God the Father. That's what this scripture is telling us. See, Yeshua was never disobedient. So he did not have to learn obedience by consequences. But the obedience that he learned is when you obey God, there are repercussions from the enemy that one has to deal with. What is the suffering? The suffering is pain that is caused by injury, illness, and loss. You know, it's physical, it's mental, it's emotional, and even spiritual. So he suffered these by being obedient to Yah. And we likewise will learn obedience by the things we suffer. However, we need to keep in mind our lessons of obedience come through it comes through our consequences from our decisions and our actions. This is the first thing that we have to, that's unique with us learning obedience through suffering, rather than Yeshua, should I say. See, he didn't learn obedience, as I said, through bad decisions and sinful actions. But the scripture make it very clear to us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. It says, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For the Messiah also has once suffered for sins. So when he learned his obedience from suffering, then it was not the suffering for his action, but it was suffering for the humanity of us all, for our sins. And then it continues, and Peter says, for the Messiah also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, and that quickened being made alive by the Spirit. So in obeying God, we will see the enemies of God at work against us. This was what Yeshua had to deal with. He learned obedience from this perspective, that the enemy against Yah, because of obedience, showed his face. So, and once again, this brings us to distress and hurt and pain and hardship. So this scripture has a dual meaning for us. And I'm speaking about Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8. Yeshua was without sin. And being without sin, the perspective of his enemies and his love for the world and the souls that would otherwise perish. Let me say this again. Yeshua was without sin, so his suffering was only from the perspective of his enemies and his love for the world and the souls that would otherwise perish. Because Yeshua obeyed the word. He obeyed the will and the way of Yah, his Father. As a matter of fact, he even cries out in prayer to take away the cup of death if the Father be willing. But he also ends in, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He cried that out. The perfect obedience unto the will of the Father, unto the word of the Father. The word was that he was to come and be the sacrifice. The way of the Father, it was a way that is hard and pressing. He came out of the glory of heaven and came into this flesh. And he had to deal with the cares of this world. He had to deal with the filthiness, the betrayal, and the wickedness and the sinfulness that came against the flesh. He lived it. He experienced it. He tasted of it, not for himself, but on our behalf. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, Father. And so he was obedient. So obedience is the most significant part of Yeshua. And therefore, we have to have this, same mind and action. Simply because there are too many disobedient children that profess God and the Son. They don't obey Yah's word in the similitude of Yeshua the Messiah. So they have made Yeshua to be as a religion, but they have not made him as a way of life. And we need to change that way of thinking. We need to break the traditions of men and the commandments of men that impede our advancement and our likeness of Yeshua the Messiah, such that we're unfruitful and we don't have power and we're the most sinful of people in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. But we must understand that it is a way of life. Yeshua the Messiah is not in Christianity. Though Christianity wants to monopolize his name and claim him, he is not in Islam. He is not in Buddhism. He cannot be associated with any other religion. He stands alone. He's in a class all by himself. None has ever been perfect and righteous such as this man. Dealing and communicating with a Muslim brother. Love Muslims, you know. I quite honestly, any religion would be better than Christianity, at least for black folks, in my estimation, for what it has done to us. And there are a lot of qualities in the Islamic community. Listen, in the community as a whole, that I respect, that they don't merchandise, they don't exploit their women. They don't allow their people to be made merchandise of through drugs and sexual perversion and exploits and alcohol and drinking. They have a skirt on their religion, if you will. They're just not bare naked and shameless. And I have a lot of respect for that with them. But they're not the truth. It is not the way and it is not the life. As a matter of fact, the Arab people got that way of living and that mindset from the Hebrews that Yah had given his laws and commandments to. And then their prophet Muhammad came and seen this and observed this, and however it happened for him to get a newer revelation, but his newer revelation couldn't have first come unless he had seen what Yah had given to his people, the Hebrew people. And then their prophet Muhammad go back and want to have his people be like, yeah, Hebrew people. So dietary laws and the standard of righteousness and how the society should esteem their women and men and different things, they stole a page from that. They added their own twist to it, mind you. But the essence of righteousness that the religion tried to ascribe to came from the Hebrews. It is not the origin of the Muslims or of the Arab people, no more than the Gentiles and being called to righteousness for today's Gentiles, at least, with American European nations and this so-called freedom and pursuit of happiness. It's another script from Yah's prescription to his people. And what he has given his people, and the enemies of Yah come and they steal a page to try to do their own thing and competition against Yah, which it amounts to nothing. It becomes an automatic failure because you're dealing with sinners who don't have the capacity of Yah, who is the epitome of holiness and righteousness. So I want to say this, that the lifestyle, the way of life for Yeshua, we must get this understood. It is one in holiness. It is one in righteousness. The way of life of Yeshua, the Messiah, is one of holiness and righteousness. This book, the Holy Scriptures, called the Bible, it is the instruction unto holiness and righteousness. Is it as simple as that? And in holiness and righteousness, it is obtained through the obedience to what is written in Yah's word. So this is why it's essential for us to have the spirit of obedience. I pray always, not only for me, but my children, let us have the spirit of obedience, because that's what's required in order to be holy and righteous. So we dealt with the way, you know, the way of Yah, which Yeshua embodies. You know, he is the way, as he has mentioned, you know, and we learn that in that way is obedience, and we learn that it is suffering in the way. But then let us also deal with the truth. He is the way, he is the truth. You know, Yeshua says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth, in John 17:17. So the truth is synonymous with the word of Yah. The word of Yah is synonymous with his ways. It is all interrelated, such that even in Psalms 119:9 it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And then he says, in the Gospel of John, it says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then Peter comes along. That was John 15:3. As we're doing scriptural study, I'd make sure to call out these scriptures so you can reference them. But then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That means sincere love of the brethren. Purified your souls in obeying the truth. If you purify your souls, it means that your soul was once vile, unclean. Your soul was once filthy. But you're purifying and obeying the truth. And now sanctify them through your truth, and your word is truth. Then that means that we are obeying Yah's word. That's where the truth is. Such that even Paul in his epistle to Titus, in Titus 1:1, it reads, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. It is synonymous. It ties up truth the way, it ties up with righteousness, with holiness, and in that, in godliness, godliness embodies all of that. It's important for us to understand and know that Yeshua is a way of life. He's just not a name to throw around or to abuse and use when we want something. If we take this man's name, if we say that we believe this gospel that has recorded his death, burial, and resurrection, then we have to get into this essence of his name. And the essence of his name is a way of life that qualified him to die. He was sin free. That was the only way Yah could offer him up unto himself, is that he be one without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, that he be sin free, to die for our sins. And so that now we can be justified and be reconciled to be called children of the Most High God, which is an honor above anything that the honor of men in this world can give unto their own. And with this honor, it comes as a statutes and precepts. There is a standard that we must live out because we're children of the Most High God, Yah. We are of truth. That means we speak the truth. That means we love the truth. But more so, that means we do the truth. We are of the essence of truth. We are obedient to Yah's word. This is the essence of being in Yeshua the Messiah. This is the way of life. So the way of life for the Gentiles, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, the sexual perversion, the lies, the idolatry, you know, the bias, the hatred, the racism, the sexual deviation, the homosexuality, the extortion, the love of money, the greed, the alcoholism, the drug abuse. These things are not conducive, nor can they be a part of Yah's kingdom. The religion of Christianity allows all this. See, it's one thing to come into Yeshua having done all that, because that's what he's there for, to change our nature, the sinful nature, the Adam nature, to change it, and so that we can take on the last Adam, which he is the type of the last Adam. Or should I say the first Adam was the type of him, but he is the fullness of the first Adam. Him being the last Adam is the fullness of the first Adam, who failed Yah and failed us. And Yeshua came to complete what Yah had started. So therefore, it's understandable that we come into the body, that we come into the namesake as sinners, wretched and defiled. I myself had to believe that I'm the chief sinner. I'm more wicked than any other man that I know, because I know myself. And no matter what the other man has done, if I sin and I'm found in my sin, if he committed more crimes against humanity, if he did more evil than I did, it don't make a difference if we're going to end up in the same place. So that's why I can say that I'm the chief of sinner. I'm the best sinner and the worst sinner that I know. For James Robert Jordan Jr. Now, everyone else can have that same testimony if they're honest with themselves. But I can't point the finger at no one else and have the fingers pointing at me, and I'm not pleasing to Yah. But if I repent and turn from my wicked ways and amend my ways, being reconciled back to Yah, then I am a child of Yah. I once again back into the family. Then I have a right to make a decision, determination against good and evil, not unto condemnation, which I have a right to make a judgment call. I just have to make sure I'm not a hypocrite, a practicing sinner. That's important. But we cannot have this way of life in the body of the Messiah, in the body of Christ, as the Christians would say. Cannot have the wickedness and the evil and these churches and expect that Yah is a part of it. A lot of churches have been a habitation for sinners and every foul and unclean spirit that is known amongst men habitate in the, amongst the congregation and perverts the congregation and defiles the congregation such that Yah cannot have a part of the congregation. And it starts from the top on down. When a pastor allows this to go on in his congregation, then his heart is not right with God. His soul is deprived, is degraded. Debauchery is in his heart. It says a lot about a pastor that will not be a good steward over Yah's house and allow all the filth and wickedness to come into Yah's house and ignore it for the sake of number count and dollar signs. But these same men, these pastors, for the standard they have in their house, they won't allow any and everybody to come to their house. As a matter of fact, about 99% of the members that they allow to come in their church won't even be allowed to come in their house, let alone don't even know where these pastors live and won't be able to ride in the cars of these pastors that these men in their greed and in their lust of the flesh and materialism, but they don't have no regard for Yah's house, but they esteem their own house where they live, their own habitat, their own possession and materialistic things. They esteem them, and they don't want the people to be a part of it, but then they make merchandise off of Yah people and let anybody and everything into Yah's house that they won't even allow into their own house amongst the people. It's sad. It is sad. But there's a day of reckoning. Yah is going to destroy such men. So nobody getting by with anything. Nobody getting by with anything. I believe if you won't loud in your own house, don't allow it in Yah's house. You have a standard for, matter of fact, Yah's house should be a higher standard than your own. You'd be a homosexual pastor and everything else at home. Don't bring that stuff in Yah's house. You know, but that is what it is. So the truth is after godliness, acknowledging it. You know, even in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. I'm going to read this. And Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. See, just like truth is synonymous with righteousness, lies and deception is synonymous with unrighteousness. So you know them by their fruit. When you see the fruits of unrighteousness, when you see the fruits of ungodliness, when you see evil going pervading the land and amongst the so-called saints, then you know that they have digested a lie. They're not in the truth. And then the bad part about it, or the even worse part about it, is because you reject the truth. And the truth with respect to being Yah's character through his son Yeshua, and the righteousness that he turned you over to a reprobated mind, that you believe a lie, that you are delusion. He sent a spirit of delusion upon the people. And those are just the religious folks. That's why it's so hard to convince a Christian to come out of Christmas, come out of this paganism in Easter, paganism in Valentine's Day, paganism in just, you know, the love and the pleasures of this world. It's so hard to persuade them to come out of this unrighteousness and ungodliness that is fulfilling to the flesh. It is the pleasures of the flesh. The world gets so indulged in flesh, and the appetite gets so gratified when these holidays come. And Christians are a part of it. But see, when you reject the truth, meaning when you reject righteousness, when you disobey Yah in place of obedience to him, and when you disobey and you reject godliness and holiness, then the spirit of delusion come upon you, and so you take pleasure in the things of this world when you ought not to, because you have associated Yeshua the Messiah, your Jesus Christ, with the religion of Christianity, which is the gateway to hell. It is a wide, broad, open door that many go in, more than any other religion. More people will make it into hell through Christianity than any other religion. Perhaps all religions combined will not amass to the amount of people that Christianity, the hell's holding tank for lost souls, where everything and anything goes. And everybody got something to justify their actions, even if it don't line up with Yah's word. Even if it don't line up, they can justify. People can justify divorce. They can justify homosexuality. They can justify drunkenness, lewdness, obscenity, vulgarity. Everybody got something to justify themselves and why they can do what they do and still be in God the Messiah, as though God has no standard, has no care, no concern. It's dangerous out there. It's real dangerous. And it's sad because souls are suffering. You know, I can't even begin to touch on that and how hurtful it is that souls are on the line. You know, but we dealt with the way, we dealt with the truth, and now we must deal with the life. You know, in the life, in John 10:10, you know, this is very important, John 10:10. You know, Yeshua said, he makes mention, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life, and that they may have it, referring to life, more abundantly. Yeshua said he came that we may have life. This is why he is the life, and have this life more abundantly, you know what, which is quite honestly beyond our comprehension, what we can really fully grasp. You know, the scripture said, eyes haven't seen nor ears have heard what Yah has for us. You know, and but that life is experience, you know, the experience of being alive, the quality that distinguishes a vital and functional being from a dead body. He wants us to have life more abundantly, meaning he just don't want us to have this three-dimensional physical life, but he wants us to have a spiritual life. He don't want us to have the benefits of clean air, to see the beauty of Yah's creation in his three-dimensional world, but he wants us to experience what Yah has prepared for us in the spiritual realm. This is why he gives us spiritual gifts. This is why he made spiritual promise for us. This is why he died on the cross and broke the bondages of sin that had us spiritually in bondage. See, the abundance of life and life, or a life more abundantly, transcends just this three-dimensional, this physical realm. It is where you get the joy and the happiness in the midst of the sorrow and the pain. You know, it is where you get the hope in the midst of the despair and the distresses. It's where you're comforted even when all around you is discomfort. That's the life more abundantly that he gives us. It is healing even though we know we're sick and afflicted. Life more abundantly, because in this life more abundantly, we enter into it through faith. And then in this respect, we enter into the spiritual realm through faith. And then we partake of the spiritual realm as obedient to the Spirit of Yah, that is his word. So in John 17, 2 and 3, because we're talking about the life now. John 17, 2 and 3. And it says, and you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you has given. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Yeshua the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This was Yeshua praying to the Father when he was about to be glorified through death. Isn't that an irony? By death in the way that his body was going to be abused and spit on and beaten, crucified unto death, that God was going to glorify him in that? Something to think about, because that's a whole nother story that I don't have time to get into. But just think about, see, what man esteems, God don't esteem, and what man don't esteem, God tend to esteem. God will take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The standard that men have amongst themselves is as filthy rags to Yah. And then the standard that Yah has for his people are filthy rags to the wicked and to men. Complete opposite. Men don't want nothing to do with Yah and his righteousness and his standards. They don't want to obey him. Well, Yah don't want nothing to do with men's standard and righteousness. Now, but who you think going to win in that challenge? Who you think going to win? Who you think going to have the last word? Who you think going to have the last laugh? Certainly you can't think that it's men in this temporary world that is coming to utter ruins faster than we can even imagine. Saints, is really high time to consider. So Yeshua made mention of this. And then let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 16. 1 John chapter 5. We're talking about now the life. And the life is essential to being in Yeshua the Messiah. It is a way of life. He is the life. There's a few things that I also want to add to with respect to life. And a few scriptures before I go to John. In Proverbs 10:16. It says the labor of the righteous tends to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. So you see how life and righteousness is synonymous? They go together. Life and righteousness go together. Sin and wickedness synonymous and go together also. Or should I say sin and death? Evil and death are synonymous. But the work of righteousness, that tends to life. And then in the preceding, in the verse after Proverbs 10:17, it reads, he is in the way of life that keep instruction. You're in the way of life if you obey Yah, this word, that's where life is. Just getting a few scriptures to back up what I'm saying, and what Yeshua said is the reason that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And this life is synonymous with righteousness and obedience, as the truth is synonymous with righteousness and obedience. Sanctify them, set them apart. You know, when you are the truth, you can't be amongst the world, because the world is vile and filthy. Now, you be in the world, but you won't be of it. You won't be in that filth. You won't do the filthy pleasures of the world, though you are around it. That's what it's meaning. And then he is the way, walking the direction. He has already paved the path for us. He has already blazed the trail. He made it doable, and we have many witness accounts of other saints, prophets, apostles, disciples, all that have walked in that same way and were victorious even unto death. So we're not alone in pursuing the way, the truth, and the life. We're in good company with a cloud of witnesses, and we will be in eternity with Yah. This is what we need to understand. But even in Proverbs 11:19, it says, as righteousness tends to life, then the other side, so he that pursues evil pursueth it to his own death. Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. There is no death, eternal death, in the pathway of righteousness. If we breathe our last breath, it is accounted to us as just being asleep. But for the wicked, it is death, meaning a separation from Yah. That is the ultimate death, to be separated from Yah and cast into the lake of fire that was made for Satan and his angels, was never even made for humanity. Wasn't made for mankind. Mankind was made to Yah's glory. Yah adored, had such affection for mankind that man was able to hurt him. Satan didn't hurt Yah. Satan hurt himself. But once again, in 1 John 5, chapter 11, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 16, I'll read this as it pertained to life. And it says, and this is the record that God has given to his eternal life, to his eternal life. This is believing on his son. The witness concerning his son is what this is referring to. And this life is in his son. This life is in his son. He that has the son has life. And he that hath not the Son of God has not life. And that life is just the essence of being, the life. Then it continues, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him, or the petitions that we ask of him. If we know that we hear that Yah hears us, and we know that Yah hears us when we speak according to his will, which in essence is speaking according to his word and speaking in accordance to his way. When he hears us, when he knows that we are obedient to his word as children of his. And then it says this in verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. People said there's different. There's no sin is sin. There's no degree of sin. And a homosexual loved to say that. But there are some sins unto abomination. I mean, there are some sins that are abomination, that are detestable, that are unto death. That the scripture said death was the remedy for that sin. And homosexuality, a man laying with another man was one. Sleeping with another man's wife was another abomination. Shedding innocent blood was another abomination. This violence and this murder that's going on, sanctioned by our government, with law enforcement, with the military, all this bloodshed and just killing innocent people. Abomination. But I'm going to say this again because it's a hot button issue, and these sodomites got people afraid to speak against the unnatural desires and affections that they have for a man to lay with another man and a woman to lay with another man. It is an abomination. It is a sin worthy of death, but not at the hands of men. It is the death that Yah is going to give to you, which is the second death and the eternal death and going to the lake of fire if you don't repent now. But to be delusional and to think that that is a sin acceptable amongst the saints of God, it goes back to why I'm saying that Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ, has to be a way of life. And that way of life has to be righteous and holy and godly. It cannot be the way of life that is acceptable in Christianity, acceptable in American culture because of a constitution and Bill of Rights and all these other man-made laws and rules and regulations that are substandard. You would never make it into the kingdom if you let men set the standard for you. You got to come up to the standard that Yah has established in his word. And then in John 5:20, jump into John 5:20. And it reads and it says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Even in his son, Yeshua the Messiah. This is the true God in eternal life. And it is where we are, we are named in the book of life that has been promised to us, the book of life. But Yah says, and many Christians need to understand this, in closing, Yah make it very clear in Revelation 22:19. If any man should take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And even Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So these sexual perversion, homosexuality, sodomy, a man desiring to be in another man's rectum, and vice versa, you know, and military having a right to kill and exercising that, killing innocent people that pose no threat to you whatsoever, that done you nothing, the violence, the bloodshed, all these are abominations, and those that practice them, this is your kingdom of heaven on earth. This hellish earth is your kingdom of heaven, because you will not get into eternity. Your name will not be found written in the book of life. So, saints, it behooves us to understand the essence of Yeshua the Messiah, that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. But that way of life is conducive. It is synonymous with righteousness and holiness and godliness. It is not the standard that men put upon themselves to think themselves to be something that they're not. Because what men esteem, God does not recognize, no more than they don't recognize what God esteems. So you can be a crook, you can be a liar, you can be sexually perverted, you know, as they are. You can be sexually deviant, you can be racist, and they would make a memorial in your name. They would honor you with awards. They would make you wealthy. They would give you lavish contracts and lavish ways of living. The most debased of men in the world are highly esteemed amongst their own peers. That don't fly with Yah. That's unacceptable in his kingdom. His kingdom is purely righteousness and holiness. It is the epitome of him. So while we have opportunity, we take this mercy and grace that Yah given us to continue in the faith and repent where we need to repent. Until next time, beloved, may the Almighty Most High God Yah and his wonderful only begotten beloved Son Yeshua the Messiah continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace unto salvation above all else. Take care, loved ones.